Yeah. All right, Wednesday evening, 6/7/23. We're going to look at the One True God, Part 8. All right. We've been looking at the names of God for a while, several weeks, a couple of months actually. I would like you to consider his name is not Buddha. His name is not Allah. And you can just add probably 100 other things that people worship. He's not any of those things. All right. Contrary to popular opinion in some of the truth circles that we listen to, as far as I'm concerned, a truther that, well, anyway, maybe I shouldn't say that. You're no longer a truther if you're speaking lies, right? Okay. It's kind of like this, and it grieves me because it's like, whatever, whatever, or whatever you call him. You can call me Ray, or you can call me whatever. But really, that's the way it's been presented. Well, whatever you call God, if it's Allah or Buddha or whoever, it's all the same source. Yeah. I have a problem with that. To me, it's very disrespectful. Very disrespectful. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's the one thing that they leave out. Or you can be a Buddhist, or you can be a Muslim, but that's okay. It's all the same God. It's just source. No, it isn't. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. I don't care what you call yourself or what you do. Whoever. Whatever. Jesus is the only way. He's the doorway. Okay, John 10. We'll get into this new name here in just a second. But I've just been pondering this, and I said, Lord, it grieves me, the disrespect. I know these people don't realize that they are steeped in New Age. They don't even recognize it. That's how subtle the tempter is. Right here, verily, verily, verse 1, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, Satan appears as an angel of light, so he is subtle to where people can be delving in these things and not really realize that's what they're doing. If the light's not shed on it, they probably won't. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. How will you know that? He's also the Word of God, and we looked at that last week. He's also the Word of God. How are you going to know? In that part that they say that, well, just throw that away, it's not any good because it's not complete. You know, there's however many books. We're going to know it by the Word. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood what things they were which he spake unto them. And Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He's the only doorway. There is no other. He just said, any way, any other way, that's a thief and a robber. Excuse me. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my voice and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Do you ever know of any other religions where they have someone that lay down their life for that particular whatever they're worshiping? Not at all. And I'm going to just stop there. There's no other way in, no matter how people try to convince you otherwise, because of the New Age push that we're in right now. You come through Jesus or you don't get in. I guess what has me in a soapbox is this flippancy about the Lord. Jehovah, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, they've tried to box them into a false god. It makes me unhappy and sad. Honor to whom honor. God knows who honors him and who does not. I want to look at Jeremiah 36 for a minute. People that don't know the word are the ones that are duped in this. And I think some that even do know somewhat of something are duped in it. Jeremiah 36. Let me get a drink. Just a second. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the word of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book, I guess a scroll. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. They read Baruch, the book, the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had read out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, boy, these words, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, and Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the scroll in his hand and came unto them, and they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, that they were afraid, both one and another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them down with ink in the book. Then all the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went unto the king and to the court, but they laid up the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in his ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it off with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Delaiah, and Jeremiah, had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdil, to take Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet, but the Lord hid them. So they wanted to kill him because of the word of God. I saw just a short clip today. There was a pride thing going on the streets, and I don't know what city this was. This man was out there, and he was reading the Bible, and that police officer handcuffed him and arrested him. That let them have their day. He said, you know what? The only people that are crying out right now are the people in hell, because they're screaming, let them know this message. If they'd have had a chance, it's kind of like, you know, the rich man, he went to hell. I'll send back, you know, somebody to tell my brothers. And they wouldn't listen. All right. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll and write it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. Now these transvestites over there and these gays, they were just clapping and cheering because he got arrested. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire, and they were added besides unto them many like words. Yeah, this is right before, because chapter 37 starts talking about Zedekiah. He was the one that when Nebuchadnezzar came into Jerusalem to take over, you know, the warnings. He was Jeremiah's son-in-law. He didn't heed the word of the Lord either. He tried to run from the king of Babylon, and the king of Babylon, you know, caught him and gouged his eyes out, killed his two sons in front of him, and then gouged his eyes out. And he went into exile and died in exile. See, God allowed this to come, and he gave them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And if you did right, Nebuchadnezzar, you saw how with Daniel, and you saw with the three Hebrew children, how God changed the heart of him. But, I mean, I just see this as a parallel of what we're going through today. Babylon is reigning, as has been reigning. But people don't want to hear the word of the Lord. And I want to talk to you tonight, the name is meek. This scripture right here, Matthew 11:29. Jesus said, with that said, Let's turn to Matthew 11:29. You know, I was thinking just a little while ago, I was thinking, Lord, meek is really mighty. A lot would say that meek is weak. Meek is weak. This is Matthew 11:29. He says, well, let's do 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word meek there means gentle or humble. You know, I know this man was trying to do a good thing, but see, this is where I have to part company with most of the church. You know, back whenever the abortion thing, when they were going to the clinics and they were picketing out in front, all they got, only thing that come out of that was they got thrown in jail. They didn't change anything. God's way, what's God's way? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, and hear, I'll come and I'll heal their land. You know, the Lord's been talking to us for weeks about the church is a spiritual house. We're not an institution that goes in riots and pickets. That just gets you in jail. That just gets you in trouble. That just gets you in debt. It may get you locked up and you never come out alive. Now, unless the Lord sanctions you and tells you to do something and tells you to go before whatever and to say, God will back you up. But he's not obligated to back up works of the flesh to try to make a point. But a lot of people, they don't realize. They think the only way is to picket, boycott, and that is not God's way unless he specifically tells you something different. And it made me feel bad for the man, but I thought, what do you think they're going to do? Gentle and humble. They're thinking that they're doing God's will, but they're just in the flesh. Unless they have a word directly from God, you go do this and you go stand and do this. But I'm going to tell you, more than likely, he's going to have a seasoned veteran. He's going to have somebody that he sends that's got wisdom. Not some yahoo out there that's just going to get their self thrown in jail and give the Christian name a bad name, make us look weak and stupid in front of that kind of crowd. No, when God shows up, it's mighty. All right, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Not the proud. Not someone that just steps out and does their own thing. Even if it's noble, they're trying to do the right thing. They just don't know any better. All right. We're going to see this as this unfolds. You would like to think that the aggressive are the ones that inherit the earth, but no, it's the meek. All right. I want to read another scripture in the Old Testament. This is Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. See, God has a plan. He has a way for everything. The problem with man, they want to just step out and do their own thing and try to solve the problem. See, that's the way most of our lives have been. And not realizing that God has a way to fix everything if we'll ask Him. And it takes an humble person to lay aside what you think is best. That's what made Jesus so special. He didn't operate outside of God in any formal fashion. Not in His speaking, not in what He did, not in where He went. All right. 1 Peter 3:4. He's talking about women here, but you're going to get the point. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. I don't think it's just for women. A meek and quiet spirit. To me, that's a spirit that's at rest and at peace, and they're tuned into what God wants to do, what God wants to say, and they're just awaiting till He tells them what to do, and then they do it. This man, as noble as he thought his cause was, just landed his butt in jail. These skanky old people over there making fun of him. It just makes you furious. All right. Right here, meek means mild, by implication, humble. Sometimes it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. See, the Lord knows how we feel. And He knows what we see just enrages us. And you just want to lash out and do something. But God is saying, I got a plan. Wait on me. He knows how to turn the evil for good if we'll wait on Him and let Him do what He wants to do. How's He going to do it other than He's got vessels? All right. If Jesus is meek and lowly, then so must we be. It is the attributes of God that will cause us to inherit. Acting like Jesus and what He did, as He is, so are we in this world, following His footsteps. Didn't He come here to show us the way? Did you ever see Him retaliate in any way? Not in any way at all. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 9. This is Paul talking here. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, unto men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and as the offscourging of all things unto this day. Many people believe Christians are just weak. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. We'll know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. See, the meek, the power can come through. See, it's the meek that will inherit the earth. God's power can come through the meek. He can't through the proud. It's kind of like the Lord said this to me as I was getting ready. He said, when you go low, I go high. When you go high, I go low. I thought, okay. In other words, I can't. If you take it into your own hands, then you block me out of the picture. That power from on high is not going to be there. But when you humble yourself and you wait on God, then heaven can intervene. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. See, we need some power showing up in the streets, not somebody that can't blow the fuzz off of a peanut, didn't do anything, but just, like I said, got thrown in jail. And everybody just, oh, poor thing. No. What would it have been like if he was sent by God and the power was there and he went over there and he just started praying for those people? And God started touching them, and they started changing their minds, and they all got born again. Think about it. Is it worth having our little say because we're mad, because we don't like the establishment and the way it is? See, everywhere Jesus went, they knew he'd been there. They knew God was there. God showed up there. How many places do we go that people know, well, God's been here? What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? See, Paul, of all people, he suffered all kinds of things, abuse. But God showed up too, didn't he? Many times for Paul. Paul had to learn the hard way. He was zealous for God. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But he had to learn to be meek and humble. All right, what does it mean to be meek? We may have knowledge of the Word of God on a matter, but in meekness we submit to God first and wait humbly before God before we speak or act. Lord, I think, you know, probably this would be a good way to handle this, but what do you say about it? I submit to you. You know everything. I only know a part. That's kind of like a family situation or whatever. You just want to wring them out, or you just want to say something or do something. But you get that in there. No, don't say anything. Don't say anything. And then one day God gives you something and bam, the power of God shows up. And they go, wow. That changes things. See? When we're meek, God can show up and do things through us. But if we're proud and we just think we got it covered and we want to handle it in our own way and tell them what they need to be doing, bless God. I know someone right now. Yeah, I don't know who it is, so don't ask me about it. But the whole time I've ever been around them, it's always, well, I told him this and I told him that. And I'm just going... It's like you're just cutting off your nose to spite your face. You try to talk to him a little bit. Well, what if you tried a different tactic? What if you know? People get in their modes of thought. And if they're, You know, they don't know, they don't know. God knows all things, and He knows exactly what every situation is, and He knows the key to that situation. He has the action for that situation. He has the answer for that situation. Okay. What would be the opposite of meek and humble? Proud. Proud. Satan, proud. You know, I'd like to just plaster all everywhere I go. You know, that scripture about a haughty spirit. Say that scripture again. I get it mixed up. Haughty spirit. Yeah. But would I be of the right spirit to do it? If God told me to, yeah. I wouldn't be in their face. It'd be on deaf ears, just like they laughed at this man, they'd probably laugh at you. They'd probably break down bawling, and then they'd arrest you because you had offended them and say, well, you owe them $20 million now. Did y'all hear the deal about the girl that she'd showed up 48 times late and they fired her? So she took them to court and got several million dollars. Now I'm telling you, this is the world we're living in. Like President Trump playing that awful looking old lady that said Trump raped her. Well, Trump don't even know her. And they said, well, he didn't do anything, but because he hurt her feelings, we want him to give her $5 million. I'm going, these people are crazy. All right, James 4:6. But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. Proud there means appearing above others or haughty. Yeah, Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly. He didn't come into this world haughty. No, not at all. All right, 1 Peter 5:5. Oh, 1 Peter 5:5, okay. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, and He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Yeah. Keep going here. Romans chapter 1, verse 30. He's talking here in Romans chapter 1 about a fallen world and about how men have turned from the holy commandments and are working things that are unseemly. And in that group of men is verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. What do you think pride is all about? Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they make that which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They're cocky. Yeah, very, very proud. All right, 2 Timothy 3:2. I'll start with verse 1 there. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yeah. We're going to look at how Jesus a little further, how he was meek and lowly. John chapter 12. Verse 49 and 50 there. Jesus said, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Christians should not have a voice to say anything unless Father says. Because we could do damage. Just our thoughts and, well, I have my say, bless God, I'm going to have it. That kind of attitude, that's not going to help anything or anybody. Jesus didn't have his own agenda. I'm sure he had his own opinion. He was a man. But he submitted to Father's will. Just think if we kept our mouth shut like he did. Yeah. We really have a different lifestyle. Before Jesus went to the cross, we saw that. He had wisdom. He said just what the Father said. That's it. He didn't ad lib or anything else. All right, John 14:30. This is before he was going to go stand before Pontius Pilate. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. So how do we let the devil in? Our mouths. Words. We can say things that trigger things. So Jesus was told him, I'm just going to be quiet because I can't speak. Because he was fixing to have the temptation of his life. All right, verse 26 and 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The more we can get to the place that we ask the Lord about things before we just go off, you know what I'm saying? The better off we're going to be. All right, if you're meek enough and will humble yourselves and realize that he knows all things, that he is the answer to everything we seek. This is John 18, the answer that Jesus gave to Pontius Pilate. This is 18, 36 and 37. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Thus should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. He didn't act in a boastful, well, bless God, I'm the Son of God, you know. He didn't act in an arrogant way. He spoke the truth. And it tells me that he was allowed to answer, because I'm not going to be talking with you. I'm not going to be talking. All right. We see two kingdoms here, flesh and spirit, based on whether we're meek or proud. All right, a few more scriptures and we'll be done. 1 Timothy 6. Start with 6 there. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith content, be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, man of God, flee from these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. He didn't cave under the pressure, and he certainly could have. Do you think it was hard on him as a man at times, that he didn't want to lash out? The only time the father allowed him to lash out is when he took the cards and run them out of the temple. Cleansing the temple. All right. Now I know he talked sharply to the Pharisees at times. But God sanctioned his words. All right. Luke 22. Verse 1 says, Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes saw how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. He sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entered in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? He shall show you a large upper room furnished there, make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, the 12 apostles with him. He said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And true to the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man by whom it is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as one that serveth. He didn't come to lord over, he came to serve. Ye are they which have contended with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink in my table in my kingdom, and sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now we know what happened. We know Jesus went into the garden and he sweat great drops of blood. This was the duress that he was under. But it didn't deter him, did it? The meek shall inherit the earth. We had the example of Jesus before us. As he is, so are we in this world. He showed us how to do it. We can have our say, or we can do it God's way. One more scripture, 1 John 3. I want to hone in on a certain portion of scripture here. Let me see if I can find it. I forgot to write it down. It's about, you might know where it is, Danny. It's about Cain and Abel.
Right here. We'll start at verse 11.
Okay. All right. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. See, Abel brought a sacrifice. He humbled himself before God. He took the first of the lambs and sacrificed before God, and God received it. And he didn't receive Abel's. And Abel got lifted up in pride and killed his brother. Yeah. That's the point here. Cain was proud and haughty. Abel wasn't. He was meek and lowly and humble. So when we see what's going on around us and we, you know, you get bent out of shape about things, that's the time that you say, okay, Lord, how do I handle this? Don't let me say anything that I shouldn't say. Because you know what? A lot of times when we, like impetuous Peter, step out and do things and realize, I just blew it. I don't have another chance with them. So it's just better to, till you have a word from the Lord, just don't say anything is always the best bet. It's not always able, we're not always able to do that, but that's the goal, right? Hear from the Lord, let him tell us what to do, and then it's a no-brainer, it's a no-fail. Mm-hmm.